If you would, take your Bibles with me and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I apologize, I don't remember the name of the storm, but what was the storm that came through Asheville last year?
Helene.
Anyone in here was personally affected? Your property or anything was personally affected? Okay, just a few of you, all right? For us, it was Hurricane Dorian. I don't know if you remember that. It was one of the strangest things and of course, North Carolina and some of the New Orleans and Florida, you all see storms often, right? Somewhat often. And the Bahamas, we see them all the time. And there was something about Dorian that was just amazing. They had not seen this happen before. Dorian, the hurricane literally stopped. Like, you know, hurricanes normally move, and they say it's moving, it's 70 mile per hour winds or 80 mile per hour winds, but it's moving at 5 miles per hour. And so the storm just kind of moves. And it was just like the storm just stayed there. And we heard stories of people who lost limbs because as stuff was flying around, it cut off their arms and legs. People who were holding on to their children but couldn't hold on anymore, and the waves came in and then washed out with people's children. We will never know how many lives were lost. We will never know. They had just a general funeral on the island for the people that they could not find. We will never know until we get to heaven, I guess, but we'll never know on this side of heaven how many people died during that storm. Storms are hard. Storms are painful. No one likes storms. It's stated, if you would take the word storm and apply it to a trial, the trials of life are like our storms. There's an old saying that says, either you're getting ready to go into a storm, or maybe you are in a storm, or you just got out of a storm. None of us in here are immune to storms. We're all going to face storms. Years ago when I was at college, I was doing my devotions, and I could almost see it. So we have bunk beds. So I'm on the bottom bunk because I'm light. Okay, no need to laugh, folks. No need to laugh. You messed up earlier this morning, and now you're doing this again. Okay. So I'm the light fella in the room, and so I'm sleeping on the bottom bunk. And I remember I just had my devotions, and I was having my devotions. I was just reading through Mark chapter 4. And have you ever read the Bible and something just jumped out at you, grabbed you, and shook you, and said, read me again? It is amazing when God does that. I love it. And he doesn't always do it, by the way. Not every single time you read the word, it's going to jump out. But every time you read the word, it still cleanses you. You may not feel the mass effect, but it's just constantly renewing your mind, constantly. And I remember, and I jumped up, and I said this. I said, it's a Greek word. I said, wow. I'm going to read, and I want to see if it jumps out at you. Okay? All right, Mark chapter 4, verse number 37. 35. I did say the songs changed the message, okay? Give me some grace. All right, verse 35. And the same day, so I'm reading it, so I want you to read it, and I want you to see if your wow comes in, all right? And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus, asleep on a pillow. I said, what? I said, in the middle of a storm, Brother Thompson, Jesus Christ was asleep on Pastor's pillow. That blew me away. I had to stop reading, and I could remember I'm laying down in bed, kind of just reading it, and I got up and I sat. So now my legs were in the bed, but now they're on the floor, and I'm sitting down, and I'm like, in the middle of a storm? He's asleep, and not just asleep. He is not just, you know, coming here on the plane. Oh, you know, planes are so uncomfortable at times, right? And they're like, okay, for ease, you can put your chair back. And so it's like this, you know? Oh, now I can really feel the, now I'm so relaxed right now. And before we land, you need to pull your chair back up. Okay. Heaven forbid that we crash and I'm like this, because, you know, that's ultimate death. But like this, I'm safe. And so my legs are on the ground, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, a pillow? A pillow? First of all, why was there even a pillow in the boat? I mean, this is question upon question. Lazy. What in the world is a pillow doing in a boat? And how does Jesus end up asleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm? So tonight, the message is, he slept on a pillow. He slept on a pillow. One person's ready for this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the passage. We're going to take some stuff out of it. And hopefully you will understand why Jesus Christ can sleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm. It says in verse number 35, it says, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. We're going to get to that a little bit later. And when they had sent away the multitude. Now, remember, even in this morning's message, do you remember how many people we said there was when Jesus was talking? Innumerable. There wasn't enough to count. So Jesus' life, he is constantly teaching and preaching and talking to people and healing the sick and giving parables and giving stories and doing all those kind of things. And so Jesus, again, was talking to people, but now it says they're getting ready to go into the boat and they leave the multitude behind. Can I say this? Storms make you feel isolated. And one of the saddest things about storms is sometimes you feel like you're going through it all by yourself. And there is a lie from Satan, and he says this: no one understands what you're going through. If Satan can get you and I to believe that no one understands what we're going through, then we would never reach out to help from anyone. And I believe that's one of the greatest lies of Satan, to say that your problem is unique to you. No one else has ever gone through it. No one else has overcome it. No one else knows what to do in it. So you might as well fight this battle by yourself, fight this storm by yourself, because no one else can help you. But the Word of God says, there is no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But notice what it says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I don't care what you're going through, someone has gone through it before, and someone will go through it later on. And so now the disciples are in this boat, and yes, we're going to see a couple seconds later, there were some other little ships, but the other little ships weren't in the boat. So here they are in this boat, and all of the multitude, all of the spectators, and boy, let me tell you something. There were some spectators. They weren't disciples. A lot of times people come because they came to Jesus to get what they could get from him. They could get healing. They could get food. They could get teaching. But they didn't want the salvation. And so you're going to notice that there are some people that are in church to hear from God. And there's some people in church because they want to go to church. So here's now this boat is leaving now, and all the multitude is left. There's some other little ships. Notice what it says in 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were with him other little ships. Verse 37. First three words. And there arose. Question. Where did the storm come from? It just arose. Storms are like that, you know. Now, you have these weather guys and weather ladies that try to, you know, say, oh, well, this and it's going to come this way. And sometimes we have storms and people call us in the Bahamas and they call NASA and they say, hey, Brother Kwame, we heard the storms coming your way. And sometimes we say, oh, don't worry about them. It's going to turn itself or what have you. And people are trying to figure out, okay, where's the storm going? But here's the question. Where did this storm come from? You know, sometimes storms just come out of nowhere. You get a phone call. You could get a phone call tonight at 3:00 in the morning. And out of nowhere, here you were in church serving God. And you could get a call tonight that says someone that you love is in the hospital. You can get a call tonight saying someone you love is dead. You could go to sleep tonight and put yourself in the bed, and tomorrow morning someone will have to help you get out of bed. Storms come out of nowhere. Sometimes it's no rhyme or no reason. Sometimes we look at people and we're like, don't they have storms? And there arose. But Brother Kwame, if I know where the storm's coming from, then I could be prepared. No, we don't know where the storm's coming from. We don't know what kind of storm you're going to face. And there arose a great storm of wind. All the writer had to say was that there was a storm. To say that there was a great storm of wind, like those words actually kind of mean the same thing. It's like saying it's a storm of a storm. This was not just your average, you know, some bad weather and different. No, this was a storm within a storm. This was the big stuff. So there arose this great storm of wind. We still, although it's bad, it's not too bad yet, but it's going to get worse. And that's how storms are. Sometimes storms start out and they're not as bad, but they get worse. It says, and there arose out of nowhere this great storm of wind. Now we have a major problem. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now almost full. That's what the Bible says, almost full. What's it say, church? They have this saying, right? There's not a problem when the boat's in the water, but there's a problem when the water's in the boat. I believe the disciples could have handled the wind. Remember, what were most of these, or a few of the disciples before they became disciples? They knew what it's like. How many of you in here fish? You like the fish? Okay? I saw a big fish today at a Mexican restaurant. That's a story. That's a funny story, okay? Inside joke. So I'm sure the disciples, when the wind began to blow, they probably said, okay, we got to do some stuff. But then the wind began to blow so hard that the waves beat into the ship. So now water is coming into the boat. The waves are tossing it to and fro. And the boat's beginning to sink. That's the next progression. When I see when the verse says, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know what I think of? I think of a Christian trying their endeavor best to stay faithful to God in the midst of a storm, and then they had it up to here. That's the breaking point. That's the point where you say, I just give up. This storm is relentless. My ship is full. What do? I have no more answers. I have no more hope. The storm is too big. I don't know what to do. And all the while, all of these things are transpiring. Remember now, so if Peter and James and John were fishermen, imagine what's going on. Do you think they're sitting there saying, whoa, this is a big storm of wind. I wonder what we're going to do. No, these were some fishermen. They understood what to do. So guess what? I'm sure Peter, because he was the one that talked the most, I'm sure Peter said, all right, James, we got to lighten the boat. Because the heavier the boat and the water's coming into the boat, then we're going to sink. So James, start throwing the nets. Start throwing everything out of the boat. All right, Judas, well, we know who you are. But in any event, Judas, get a bucket and you start taking the water and throwing the water out. So James, you're over here doing that. Judas, you know, the other disciples, let's do this. Let's put up the sail and let's try to get with the wind so we can get to shore as fast as possible. Okay, everyone has got what they're doing and everybody has a plan. Everybody's got something to do, but it's not getting any better. And you're praying. And you're asking people to pray for your storm, and it's not getting any better. And they tried everything humanly, this is the key, they tried everything humanly possible to get out of this storm. And they're in the middle of the storm, and it didn't get any better. It only got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, until eventually, I believe they said, in verse number 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus. We would say in the Bahamas, Jesus, we could die. We're going to die. And here you are, in the middle of my storm, quiet, asleep, waves crashing in, water in the boat that is almost full. And I'm saying, and I could imagine the disciples, and I believe they got to their breaking point, and they say, Master, don't you care? Get up! Can I give you a couple reasons why I believe Jesus was asleep on a pillow? Number one. Look at verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You know why they were in the water in the first place? They were following Jesus. I promise you, and I'm probably going to do a slightly similar message this week when I talk to the young people, but I promise you, you will get to a point in your Christian life where you will say these words, if I'm following God, I'm doing everything he wants me to do. I'm following the word of God. I'm obedient to the word of God. Why does he allow storms in my life? You know the answer is? You say, why would God allow storms in my life when I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do? Because when you're doing exactly what he wants you to do, God says you're ready for the storm. You say, what are you talking about? Remember Job? So why did Job go through that storm? Was Job sinful? Did Job have some secret sins? Was Job doing some stuff and God allowed him to go through this? He lost his family, his 10 children. He lost his health. He lost his business. He lost all these things. Maybe Job was a sinner and he had some unseen sin. No. You know what God said? God said, have you considered my servant Job? You can throw everything. You can throw the kitchen sink at Job, and Job will still serve me. And here's what God will allow in our lives. He will allow us to go through trials to see if we will still serve him through the trials. He was asleep on the pillow because he was the one that told him to go on the water in the first place. And so sometimes following Jesus, we are excited. We are nervous. We are scared. But Jesus is like, didn't I tell y'all let's get in the water? Didn't I tell y'all let's go to the other side? I could sleep on a pillow because my Savior is the one that led me where I am today. So you know what the key is? The key is make sure you're where Jesus wants you. Make sure you're where Jesus wants you. I would rather a storm come because I'm following Jesus than God bring a storm to get me to back to follow him again. He's asleep on the pillow because he was the one that told him where to go. He's asleep on the pillow. Look at verse 39. And he arose. Let's go back to verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. By the way, what's Jesus doing in the back of the boat? He should be the captain. Do you know what they thought? He's a master. You know what the word master means? Teacher. You've done this before. You've been in this situation where you're good at something. Maybe some of the young people, you're good at, you know, technology and phones and all that kind of stuff. How many of you have an iPhone? Look at you, iPhone people. Well, I don't have an iPhone because I'm a Christian. I had to get that out. And you would say, your parents or your grandparents would say, hey, can you help me with the Facebook? Okay, first of all, there's no the in front of Facebook, right? And you're like, okay, grandma, mom, dad, pass it here. Let me, you know, so like, they don't know what they're doing. Let me handle it. You know what I believe? I believe the disciples thought, okay, Jesus, you're this great teacher. We've heard you teach. Hey, you're a great teacher. But we know how to handle a boat. Go in the back of the boat. Go to sleep. We'll take it from here. When Jesus is in the back of your boat, you can expect a storm. You know where he should have been? At the bow. He should have been at the head of the boat. But they put him in the back of the boat because I believe they thought we could handle this by ourselves. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Do you know why he was asleep on a pillow? Number one, because he was the one that told him to go there. Number two, what did awake Jesus? Notice what it says in verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. So you mean the wind didn't awake him? Nope. You mean the water beating into the boat didn't wake him? Nope. You mean the disciples probably shouting and screaming to each other what to do and put up the sail and throw out the water and throw out the nets and throw out the stuff and lighten up the boat and let's get the, and hey, where's the light and where's the land? All of that stuff, all of this things happening around him and Jesus asleep on a pillow. Why? Because the only thing that was going to wake him up, is when they stopped and prayed. When they now addressed their attention to Jesus, he got up. You know what Jesus is waiting on? Why he's still asleep on the pillow? He's waiting for you to pray. And notice what I'm saying. He's not waiting on you or me to say prayers. He's waiting for us to grab a hold of the throne of God and say, okay, Jesus, this is just me and you. It may mean for some of us, we may need to fast for some situations and fast from food and fast from internet and fast from all these things that distract us and say, hold on, I need to grab a hold of the throne of God. I need to get God's attention because this storm is so big, I don't know what's going to happen. I need to pray. And for some of us, sometimes Jesus is just asleep on a pillow. Because we're trying everything humanly possible to fix the storm when it's really a spiritual battle. I believe he was asleep because he was the one that told him to go there. I believe he was asleep because they didn't wake him up yet. Verse 39, why else was he asleep? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace. And he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Why would the Creator be afraid of the creation? You think Jesus worrying about a little bit of water? You think Jesus worrying about some waves, some wind? I believe one of the songs that we sang tonight, or Pastor spoke about it this morning, sometime, he's the Creator, or someone said it, he's the Creator. Why would the Creator be afraid of the creation? He rules the storms. He rules the wind. He rules the waves. And Jesus, well, I don't need to worry because he rules the waves and the storms. And so now this is a chance for them to see Jesus in a different light. And for some of us, it's a chance for us to see him in a different light. Do you realize Jesus is more than your Savior? He should be your Lord. And so here he is, says, peace be still. And you know what I love about Jesus? He never answers their question. Jesus owes us no explanation. None. And I could imagine in Jesus saying this, when they said in verse number 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And trust me, folks, trust me. If you haven't been there yet, you will be there. You will get there. You're going to get there. Everyone can serve God on Sunday. Everyone can serve God when God's blessing and God's giving and God's providing. I got money in the bank, food in my stomach, gas in the car, water in the van. But when God strips you of all those things, will you still serve him? Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know what I can imagine in the back of Jesus' mind? In a couple of years, I'm going to go to a cross and have nails put in my hands and in my feet for you. And you want to question if I care about you? I care so much about you. I left the glories of heaven to come to this earth to die for you. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why does he allow us to go through storms? Folks, Jesus went through storms. That's a part of this sin-cursed life. And there's so many different reasons. Sometimes we go through a storm, and the storm isn't even for us. Sometimes God will allow us to go through a storm because he wants us to help someone else who's going to go through the same storm later on. Sometimes God allows us to go through a storm so he can humble us. We're so proud and so arrogant, we think that we're the best Christian in the world, and God allows storms to humble us. God allows storms to allow us to look at him in a different light. There's so many different reasons. But at the end of the day, he can sleep on a pillow because he knows he cares for us. What else does Jesus have to do to show you how much he loves you? Jesus said three words. Peace be still. If it were me, you know, if I was Jesus or if I was in this position, I would have my speech ready. Thou waves and thunder from above, I stop thou in the name and be calm and peace. He just said, peace be still. I don't even think Jesus shouted. I think he probably just whispered it. Peace be still. And I believe when Jesus said, peace be still, I believe the waves stopped moving. I believe the fish stopped moving. I believe the fish were like this. Because when Jesus says, peace be still, there'll be peace. And I'm sorry I have to say this, and I say this with a heavy heart. Sometimes that peace is going to be when you go to heaven. And I wish I could tell you. I wish I could stand here behind this pulpit and tell you, yes, he slept on the pillow, but your problem's going to be okay, and God's going to work it all out, and everything's going to be happy. And the fact of the matter is sometimes God's healing is a glorified body in heaven. But you will have peace. You may not get deliverance from the storm, but you can have peace in the storm. Then the disciples said this, verse 40, Jesus talks. You want to question Jesus' care? Notice verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Where's our faith when trials reveal our faith? There's another reason. Do you have faith in God? Yes, I have faith in God. I even sing songs about the faith. Trust in Jesus. And I know we have all these wonderful, I'm not the musician like, you know, Quincy. And you got all these different things and trust and faith. And then the storm comes. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes storms come just to show us where we are spiritually. How is it that you have no faith? Do you have something that you could point back to that when Jesus rescued you or Jesus helped you out of a storm? If you do, then remember those times when you're going through a new storm. The God of the valley is, the God of the mountain is God in the valley. And if he did it for you once before, he can do it again. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man? They feared exceedingly and said what one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? When was the last time you saw something about Jesus and it blew you away? You know, the sad, I say sad because I'm human, but you know what's the truth? Sometimes you're going to see something about Jesus' love that you're only going to see in a trial. I can remember when I was driving, my dad was dying of cancer, and I was in Florida. We had brought him over to Florida, and I remember he wasn't saved. My dad had not gotten saved. And I'm praying to God, and I'm doing Alligator Alley between Naples and Fort Lauderdale, doing Alligator Alley, and I'm there, and I'm just crying, and I'm talking. I'm like, God, how are you going to let my dad? I've been praying for my dad for 30-plus years. And on that drive, there was a peace. And I can't explain it. And I guess that's where the verse comes in, the peace, which is hard to understand. I'm messing the verse up. But I pass it understanding. I did not understand it. I'm sitting there and I'm like, why am I not crying anymore? I promise you this. I had never experienced that level of peace before my dad was on his dying bed. And I've not experienced that peace again. And you know what I believe God's saying? When you need that peace, I'll give it to you when you need it. Now, that's not to say I don't have peace. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm talking about there was a peace that I knew God was like, it's going to be okay. And Daddy got saved. Amen. About 2 or 3 days before he died. And I can tell you, there is a peace that passeth understanding. And you may not have it every single day, but God knows when you need it. God knew when I needed it. And God knows when I'll need it again. So in the middle of a storm, he could sleep on a pillow. You say, preacher, what should the disciples have done? You got this big storm of wind. You got the waves beating into the ship so that it's now full. Preacher, what would you have told the disciples to do? Well, I have 20/20 vision because I could see it from this side, right? We got to remember that. We talk bad about people in the Bible sometimes, like, oh, the disciples had no faith. And listen, folks, if we were there, we would have done the same thing or worse. But I hope that looking back at it now, as you go through your trials, as I go through my trials, that we would say, well, if Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the middle of the storm, I'm going to find a pillow. And I'm going to find out where he is. And in the middle of the storm, I want to be right next to Jesus. Because that's my peace. That's my calm. That's my Savior. I'm not going to tell you your circumstance is going to change when you walk out those doors, but I'm telling you, your peace can. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why in the middle of a storm, he could sleep on a pillow. In the middle of your storm, rest in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for changing the message. God, I am your servant. I am I need you. And I want to be so careful, God, to give you the honor and the glory. Father, I can only imagine how many storms are brewing by the representation of the people in this church tonight. How many storms are present, and how many people are coming out of storms. God, I don't know where everyone is, but God, they can have that same peace that passeth understanding. And God, we pray that you would allow us to have peace in the midst of the storm, like our Savior who could sleep in the middle of a storm on a pillow. May your will be done tonight. Help our hearts to be in tune with yours. We ask these things. Pastor.